Just as a mother is intimately involved in the creation of her child, so God is intimately involved in the creation of each human life. You made me, all the delicate inner parts of my body, and knit me together in my mother's womb. God is there with us before our birth and to our old age and grey hairs. He's there with us to sustain and carry us. I gave birth to two boys, whom I love with all my heart. They are a part of me. My love and care for them never ends. It just gets bigger. So God's love and care for us extends and grows throughout our entire lives. God lovingly cares for, nurtures, comforts, and protects us, his precious children. God is full of motherly compassion, and he longs to gather his children into his embrace. Jesus is God's deep compassion become human. As Jesus embraced the sick and cared for the outcast, he was deeply moved by human suffering, comparing himself to a mother hen, using her wings to shield her chicks from danger as he gathers people into his embrace. In the ultimate expression of compassion, Jesus was moved to enter into humanity's suffering, into death itself, to rescue and bring us near to God. Such is the compassion of God. God is gracious. He generously gives us the gift of himself, his life, and his love. Salvation is an unmerited gift, a gift that we don't deserve, but it's given to us with pure delight. Grace is a gift of favour, purely because God takes great pleasure in us. We long to give gifts to our children. I remember when the kids were little and it was Christmas time or birthdays, I would go to so much trouble to make sure it was a great day and to give them special gifts, purely because I loved them and I took great pleasure in my children. They were special, and that's how God sees us. We are no longer forced to live in prisons of guilt or be condemned to death. We simply need to confess our failures and ask God for his favour, and he has a consistent and generous response. He pours out his amazing and wonderful grace on each one of us. Do you know of any parent who would give their hungry child who asked for food a plate of rocks instead? Or when asked for a piece of fish, what parent would offer their child a snake instead? If you, imperfect as you are, know how to lovingly care for your children and give them what's best, how much more ready is your Heavenly Father to give wonderful gifts to those who ask him? God is gracious and generous, and we praise him this morning. God's anger is a response to human evil, and it is based on a deeper character, on his deeper character trait, his compassion and his loyal love. God is not content to let people sit in their own self-destruction. God is on a mission. He's on a mission to rescue. His anger is an expression of his justice and his love for the world. But he is slow to anger. He gives people lots of time to change. In Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we see God's anger at evil and his love for people working together to provide forgiveness and life for a humanity lost in self-ruin. Yes, God does get angry, but his anger is based on his compassion and loyal love for us. He doesn't want us to continue in our destructive ways. Can you see the mother on her knees, day after day, night after night, praying, pleading with God for her son who has left behind his childlike faith and wandered away, enticed and now deeply entangled in the destructive ways of the world, lost to his family? She waits, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, for a call or for the door to open and for him to finally come home. She never gives up hope. God never gives up on us. God is overflowing with loyal love for us. He is deeply committed to us. He became human and bound himself to us in the person of Jesus. In God you are affirmed, and your worth is acknowledged. He is a relational God. He's not distant and he's not remote. He longs to have a real, meaningful and deep connection with you. He welcomes you with open arms. Despite your failings, he reaches out to you to bring healing and restoration. He brings wholeness. God is concerned with your needs and your struggles. He longs to provide for you in every aspect of your lives. He has a big heart that wants to overflow with goodness to you. And he gave you the gift of life, life in all its fullness. He generously gives you the gift of his Spirit to empower, strengthen, and comfort you. And he gives you special spiritual gifts to use for building up and growing his church. Yes, God overflows with love for us, devoted and constant love, which does not and never will count the cost. Love is patient. Love is kind. It isn't jealous. It doesn't brag. It isn't arrogant. It isn't rude. It doesn't seek its own advantage. It isn't irritable. It doesn't keep a record of complaints. It isn't happy with injustice. But it is happy with the truth. Love puts up with all things, trusts in all things, hopes for all things, endures all things. I don't know about you, but I've learnt a lot as I've prepared and looked at the character of God. And this morning we're going to look at the last characteristic of God, which is faithfulness. So I'd like to invite you to watch the YouTube video clip from the Bible Project, which helps explain this a little more.
If you tried to describe what God is like, it could be difficult or daunting. But when the people who wrote the Bible pondered the mystery of God, they consistently described God's character in this way: compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, overflowing with loyal love and faithfulness. We're going to look at this last characteristic of God. It's the Hebrew word emet, which can be translated as faithfulness or even truth. It's related to another word you've probably heard before, amen, which is an untranslated Hebrew expression meaning that's truth. So emet can mean truth, and it can refer to correct ideas or concepts. This is because emet has to do with stability and reliability, like when Moses holds up his hands for hours to defeat Israel's enemies, the Amalekites. His friends put a rock under him and support his hands so that his hands will remain emet, or steady. When emet is used of people, it describes reliable and stable character, or trustworthiness. Like when Moses appoints leaders in Israel, they're to be people of emet, people who are trustworthy, who won't take bribes or distort justice. So to say that God is full of emet doesn't just mean that God tells the truth or stands for truth. It means that God is faithful and trustworthy. This is why Moses calls God a rock, saying that he's faithful, just, and upright. He's saying that he can trust God to be consistent to his character. And the Hebrew word for trust is actually the verb form of the word emet. It's he'emin. It can be translated as to believe or to have faith, but most basically it means to consider someone trustworthy or to trust. The first person we meet in the Bible who considers God to be trustworthy is Abraham. God makes a promise that Abraham and his wife Sarah will have a huge family, and that through them all nations will experience God's blessing. But Abraham and Sarah are really, really old, and they've never been able to have any children. And yet, in the face of these challenges, Abraham he'emins God. He considers God trustworthy to open a way forward. And God does show Emmet to Abraham and Sarah. In just 4 generations, their descendants form a whole nation called Israel. And God invites Israel into a trusting and faithful relationship. And when God leads them out of slavery in Egypt, Israel means in God. They trust and rely on him. But when they come to the land God promised to Abraham, and they find out it's filled with giant cities protected by giants, their trust in God's Emet fails. But eventually, we meet an Israelite who does trust God in the face of giants. It's David. He yells at the giant, "You come with a sword and a spear, but I come with the name of the God of Israel." David consistently relies on God. In fact, it said that David walked in Emet before God. So David considers God to be faithful and responds with faithfulness. This is why God promises to raise up a faithful descendant of David, whose kingdom will endure forever, or in Hebrew, have emet. This faithful king will become the source of trust and stability for others forever. But when the kingdom later collapses, the Israelites find themselves without a home and without a king. And they cry out, "Oh God, where is your loyal love that you swore to David in your emet?" They're accusing God of abandoning his promises to Abraham and to David. Is God trustworthy? Is he faithful after all? The first line of the New Testament is an answer to that question. This is the lineage of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. In other words, through Jesus, God fulfills his promises. Or as Paul says, Jesus came on behalf of God's faithfulness. He is the faithful king whose kingdom will endure forever and who invites all nations to trust God. Now, trusting anyone is risky. It's hard to know if anyone is really full of emet. But the biblical story portrays a God who's been faithful all along and whose promises were fulfilled in the story of Jesus. And so as we look out at the obstacles facing us and our world, we're invited to take that same risk and join Abraham, David, and the people of God in trusting that God is overflowing with faithfulness.
Amen. Faithful God. In a world that is constantly changing, stability is something that seems elusive. Living in a rapidly changing environment can make us feel uncertain and anxious. We feel a sense of loss. We feel a sense of loss of control over our lives. And we feel we can't rely on others or institutions to provide stability. This can lead to a sense of hopelessness and despair, a feeling that we are alone in our struggles. As a daughter, I knew that my mum was there for me. She was a constant in my life. As a child, if I hurt myself, I knew I could run to her for comfort. I could rest safe in her loving arms. As a new mum myself, I knew that my mum would drop everything and come if I called and if I needed her. As an orphan now, and as a single woman, I miss her on the other end of the phone. I miss her advice and her encouragement. We all long for security, for stability, for something we can trust in, don't we? God is a steady rock. He does not change. He keeps his promises. He delivers his people. He is forgiving and merciful. We can rely on him. He is trustworthy and faithful. David, as we saw in the clip that we just watched, David was just a young shepherd, and he trusted that God would help him defeat the all-conquering giant Goliath, despite the massive odds against him. He chose to face the giant without weapons and without the protection of body armor. All he had was his sling and a few stones. David trusted that God would give him the strength and the skill to defeat Goliath. He did not put his faith in human weapons. David was quick to give glory to God for his victory, acknowledging that the battle was the Lord's. He trusted God and depended on him alone, not just on that occasion, but consistently throughout his life. And it wasn't an easy life. He faced many family conflicts, persecution, betrayal, and very deep personal loss. But this is what he said. I love you, Lord. You are my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my saviour. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. I called on the Lord who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from my enemies. God is often described as a rock in the Bible, and this image is used to convey several important ideas. A rock is a stable and unchanging object, and God is seen as providing a stable foundation for his people. He is an unchanging source of strength and security that can be relied on in times of trouble. A rock is also a symbol of strength and power, and God is seen as a mighty and powerful force that can overcome any obstacle or challenge. He is strong and protective, and he can provide shelter and safety for his people. A rock is durable and long-lasting, and God is seen as enduring through all time and history. He is an eternal and unchanging presence that will always be there for his people, no matter what challenges they face. And a rock can provide shelter and protection from the elements, and God is seen as a refuge and a place of safety for his people. He is a rock that they can cling to in times of trouble, a place of refuge from the storms of life. The image of God as a rock emphasizes his stability, strength, endurance, and refuge. All of these provide comfort and insurance for us, his beloved. So, as we come to the end of this series, we remember that God is overflowing in faithfulness. Through Jesus, God fulfills his promises. His kingdom will endure forever, and we will enjoy eternity with him. He invites us all to trust in him. David knew that God would come through for him. He believed that God would come through for future generations after him. Can you put your complete trust in this faithful God who will continue to be faithful? Because that is who he is. A new heaven and a new earth await all who put their faith and trust in God. David unwaveringly knew God to be faithful and responded with faithfulness to God. Will you do the same? I am so grateful that our God is compassionate, that he is gracious, slow to anger, and overflowing in loyal love and faithfulness. My prayer is that we will not only tell others about this amazing God, but that we will be living examples of his compassion, grace, forgiveness, and love. May we faithfully serve him and others always. That's my prayer for us as we complete and finish this series on the character of God. I pray that you have been blessed as we have looked at who our God is. Because as I said a few weeks ago, it's so important that we know and understand who God is. Because sometimes we grow up with misconceptions. We need to understand who God is. And we praise him and thank him for that. This morning, I invite you to listen to a song that's going to play. And there'll be a YouTube that plays with it. Once again, you'll have seen some of these pictures before in the last few weeks. But it helps us to remember and focus on our great, compassionate, gracious God.